The Fan on Demand.
Thank you, Jerry and Joe, and I will echo what Jerry had to say there about Joe Siddle. It has been phenomenal to have him with us early on and for his first ever big league game. Yeah, he did 29 in the spring or so, but you're going to really enjoy getting to know Joe Siddle over the course of hopefully a long time. You didn't enjoy today's game, and I get that. I didn't either. 9-2 was the final score. The Blue Jays just plain got thumped. And then the Will Myers Little League home run in the eighth inning was just icing on the cake. 416-872-870. I can't even remember the phone number. 870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And yes, the game was so bad, so ugly, that even the television broadcast cut out. We'll take your calls all the way to the top of the hour. I think we can go a good long time all the way to the top of the hour. I don't remember how we do this before. We're going to lead things off with Adam in Waterloo. Adam, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. You are the leadoff man for 2014.
Hi there, Mike. My beef here is not with the players here. I think the problem may be higher up. My question is, why is it that in the third inning, with a guy that batted 185 last year, runners on first and second and nobody out, and we're down by three, and we have this guy not sack bunting?
Because, well, multiple reasons. First of all, it's the third inning. Second of all, it's David Price pitching. And with David Price, you don't want to be cavalier with your outs. And for another reason, Ryan Goins is hitting behind him, who doesn't hit left-handers well. There are lots of reasons why you don't bunt with Josh Toley there. I mean, I don't know that the situation comes up in the seventh inning, you're pinch hitting, one would hope. But the third inning is way, way too early to give away outs. I get all the other things that are going on, but it's just way too early to start giving away your outs.
Of course, but a lot of guys say that you can't get to good if you can't get to good pitchers early, you won't get to them.
Right. So handing them outs is not a good way to get to them, is it?
Well, if you can get a scoring opportunity earlier in the game, you might as well take it, right?
No.
If you can get two guys in the scoring position. I mean,
no, you have a better chance to score a run with runners at first and second and nobody out than you have with runners at second and third and one out.
Okay.
You do. Okay, you do.
Do I have time for a second question?
Sure, why not?
Okay. Is this not interesting? Does this R.A. Dickey for Darno and Syndergaard trade not very reminiscent of the Andrew Raycroft for Tuukka Rask trade?
No.
I just think it would be interesting to put that out there.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Can't get one phone call into a Blue Jays talk without a Leafs reference. Toronto, you have outdone yourself. Andrew in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Thanks a lot. Mike, I was just listening to Jerry there talking about the miles per hour on R.A. Dickey's knuckleball. It was averaging around 74, 76 type of thing. And he mentioned that during his Cy Young season that he was around 82. My question for you, or if you can comment if you know anything, is do you think that that is a cause for concern necessarily? I'll just add in there, they mentioned that Tim Wakefield, he had success throwing low 70s.
Yeah, and high 60s too.
Yeah, so do you think, is this cause for concern for R.A. Dickey with a lower mile per hour knuckleball?
Well, it was the fact that he couldn't throw his hard knuckleball last season, in the early part of last season, that really held him back. But I'm looking right now, and the first couple innings, he was between 76 and 78. And then it started to drop off from that point. Although he still threw 78-mile-an-hour knuckleballs in the third. That's as far as I've gone. I really wasn't watching the gun on R.A., But I'm trying to make sure that I'm accurate with what I'm talking about. But it does look like he probably averaged close to 76, but the speed of the knuckleball and his, I don't know if it's ability or whatever, to throw a harder knuckleball diminished as the game went on, although there are a bunch of 77s still as late as that fifth inning. But there was not a single knuckleball that R.A. Dickey threw that went over 78 miles an hour. And generally, he likes to be able to snap them off at 80, 81. It's not much of a difference. It's odd. And one wonders why that is, and if it's something that maybe, you know, a little tired arm after a couple of hundred pitch outings in the spring before the last one, or if it's an issue. But it is definitely worth keeping an eye on, for sure.
Okay, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, appreciate the call. Yeah, not one knuckleball over 78 from R.A. Dickey today. Blue Jays lose 9-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays, a game that was just ugly from the get-go. The Rays scored in each of the first three innings. Dickey gave up 6 runs on 5 hits over 5 innings and set a Blue Jays record with 6 walks. No Blue Jays pitcher had ever walked that many on opening day before. And, of course, hasn't been mentioned yet by a caller, but Jose Reyes lasted exactly one at-bat into the season before leaving with hamstring tightness. It was the same injury that knocked him out of a spring training game a week and a half ago, Saturday. So one wonders just how well Reyes was. But that being said, he did play both games in Montreal and look fine. And so, you know, I've gotten a couple of questions on Twitter. Well, why did he play in Montreal? Obviously, he said he was well enough to play in Montreal. He looked completely fine in Montreal. And whatever was bugging him in that hamstring continues to bug him. Russ in Jersey, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on opening day.
Yeah, good evening, Mike. How are you?
I am well, despite the action on the field. It's opening day. It's a brand new season, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw, but there was a, I thought J.P. Arcia, their first at-bat, took a walk. Something we didn't see too much on the Blue Jays, so it's only opening day. But, you know, Dickey, obviously, you know, I saw the game today, watched the game, and it was just, it was ugly, as you said. You know, the 0-2 pitch in the second inning, that you can't throw an 0-2 pitch right over the plate, puts it right over, it's a double. But the question is, you know, and the question is, it could get ugly very early here. And, you know, you're playing Tampa Bay, you're playing the Yankees. I know you're not the Yankees of, you know, the years gone by, but I'm you know, nervous that this thing could really, really get ugly early for the Blue Jays. I just want to know your comments on that.
It could, sure. I mean, they could start the season 1-6, but they could just as easily start the season 5-2. It's not a pleasant schedule by any means, because they just can't seem to get anything done in Tampa. And then the Yankees come to town, and you're dealing with Masahiro Tanaka on the first night. But then the Yankees are dealing with Dustin McGowan on the first night. And healthy, that's a very, very difficult thing to do. For me, here's what I'll say. I honestly think, you know, R.A. Dickey is a knuckleballer, and it's a trick pitch. And when it's on, nobody's going to touch him. And when it's not on, he's going to get beat up. That's what happened today. David Price, one of the best pitchers in the game, when he's on, nobody's going to touch him. When he's not on, he's going to get beat up, not to the extent that R.A. Dickey's going to get beat up every time he's not on. But those are the sorts of things that are going to happen. But you have Drew Hutchison going tomorrow. You've got Morrow. You've got McGowan. And you've got a very reliable Mark Burley, though he tends not to be terribly reliable in April. But I believe that Hutchison, Morrow, and McGowan have the best stuff in this rotation. And so we got a lot left to see. And I understand the dismay going on, despair. But if they go 2-5 this week, the season's not over, just as much as it's not over if they win the next 6 games in a row. It takes a long, long time to put together a baseball season. And it's tough when the first time you see them, they're playing this badly. But they could just as easily play completely opposite and beat the heck out of the Rays tomorrow. Thanks, Russ. Appreciate it. And you know, I understand the ups and downs. I do. And the tenor of the show may be completely different tomorrow if the Blue Jays win that game. But it's one game out of 162. It's the first one, and it was particularly ugly. And I guarantee you there are going to be at least a dozen more of these over the course of the season, if not more. But there are also going to be plenty where they look awfully, awfully good. Thomas is in Toronto, our favorite. Thomas, listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello.
Happy New Year, Mike.
And Happy New Year to you.
I guess the reason why game one of 162 looks kind of scary is that you have Reyes and Ari.
Can you turn your radio down, please,
sure.
Thomas?
You have Ari Dickey and Reyes, two of the biggest acquisitions of the acquisitions by Alex Anthopoulos.
The two biggest.
And you have these two guys here that in game one showing signs of potential intermittency that may take place throughout the season. And while they're not the only two, these guys are probably arguably the two biggest factors in this lineup this year. I want to hear what you have to say about that. I mean,
I'd like to know what you mean by intermittency, seeing as you made up that word
meaning
and used
these
it in
guys
a very
may
weird
be on
context.
Because of Jose Reyes' hamstring injury, and we know about hamstring injuries in professional sports, basically, they can be nagging. They can be off and on. And I think Evan Longoria had one that kept him out of a Rays lineup. I think it was last year. So while this is the case, question one is, can we say it might be dangerous or it might maybe bleak for Jose Reyes playing on turf in the dome over the next year or two, however long he's here? And Dickey has his problems in the dome as well, giving up home runs and stuff. So this is why this start right now looks a little bit bleak, especially with those two situations today from those two players.
Yeah, it does look bleak. And I'll say this. I mean, R.A. Dickey, I wouldn't say he's intermittent. But I would say that unlike your typical ace, he's not a guy who can be relied upon to bring the same level of stuff every time he takes the mound. The knuckleball can be a capricious animal, as he has told us. And some days it's not there. Some days it is. It was there more days than it wasn't last year, but you want it to be there at least, you know, You'd like it three quarters of the time. As far as Reyes goes, we said the same thing last year about the hamstring and the turf, and the hamstring didn't give him any issues on the turf. It was the fact that his ankle exploded. But the hamstring is hurt right now, so that brings it all into question. And they can linger, and they can be nagging, and Reyes may wind up on the disabled list. He's not right now. The Blue Jays are not making a roster move tonight, so nobody's going on the DL. Nobody's getting designated for assignment, nothing like that. They're going to wait and see at least a little bit on Reyes. But, yeah, it's a concern, but it was the same concern when they got him. And it's too bad because when he's healthy, he is such a huge, impact, exciting guy. But the Blue Jays can live with Jose Reyes getting hurt. They can't live with six guys getting hurt like they did last year. Owen is in Toronto listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Owen. You're on the Blue Jays talk.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks.
Yeah, well, I was obviously watching the game like most people. And I had a couple questions I just wanted to ask you about quickly. My first question, well, you've already touched on it, but I mean, do you think that this is going to be like last year with Reyes, where it's going to nag him like the whole entire season? He might end up on the DL, or do you think hopefully this can go away soon enough?
Well, I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV, but I certainly think this is something that could nag him all season long. You hope it doesn't. But last year, he still hit 300, so I wouldn't be too upset about the Jose Reyes of 2013, other than the fact that he missed 65 games. But I don't think this will knock him out for 2 months. It could, if they bring him back too quick and it explodes, but it really didn't look like today. Like, we've seen players pull hamstrings badly, right? We've seen guys running down the line and just stop and grab their leg and hobble the rest of the way and not be able to stop themselves. That didn't happen to Jose Reyes today. So that's good. Hopefully it's just a little thing and they'll deal with it. And maybe he needs a little bit more than a week off this time, but I'll take that so that I can get 140 games out of him.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. So just two more quick questions. One is, I know there was a lot of negativity before the season started, even now, about the rotation. I was just really looking at it and thinking about it and wondering, is it like how bad or how good do you think it can be? Because, I mean, the Red Sox, I mean, obviously it's totally, they won the World Series or whatever, and that was, like, different. But, I mean, their rotation wasn't, like, the best last year. I mean, maybe it's not as bad as ours is this year, but do you think that this rotation can end up actually doing well for the Jays and win us a lot of games?
Yes, I think the rotation could be very, very good if they stay healthy, and that's the question. I mean, like I said, Drew Hutchison, Brandon Morrow, and Dustin McGowan all have stuff that is off the charts, and Hutchison is a great strike thrower to go with the 95, 96 that he throws. So, yes, I think the rotation has a chance to be very, very, very good. The only question is, will they be able to stay healthy? Hutchison's coming off Tommy John. Brandon Morrow missed 4 months last year with a wrist thing. Dustin McGowan has thrown 90 innings in the last 5 years. So those are the questions.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. All right, Mike, thank you so much. And let's hope it's a good season. Let's hope.
Let's hope. That would be nice. Thank you. I never understood this whole Blue Jays rotation is in shambles or Blue Jays have a terrible rotation. They clearly do not. The question is, will they be able to stay healthy? So far, so good. Horse in Toronto? Okay. It is the Blue Jays talk. Couple of lines open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Peter in St. Catharines. Hello, Peter.
Mike. Blue Jays, their Jays talk is the Leafs on Jays talk, and people still ask you how you're doing. Jays talk 2014 is off to a flying start.
Thank you. Go ahead.
All right. Oh, okay. What do you see from Marcus Stroman, and he's going to get this opening day start for the Bisons, and if you see him and Kyle Drabek and Ricky Romero possibly making some sort of contribution to the Blue Jays at some point in this season?
I see Stroman making a contribution to the Blue Jays at some point this season, and I think I would put Aaron Sanchez ahead of either Drabek or Romero. I think Drabek's got some more recovering to do from his second Tommy John surgery. It turns out that it's a lot more difficult to come back the second time than it is after the first, and Ricky Romero is just a lost soul right now. So hopefully he can find it and he can get back to something closely resembling who he was that we saw over the first half of spring training, and he can help out. But I do think we'll see Stroman, and I do think we'll see Sanchez at some point this year. If we don't, it's because McGowan, Morrow, and Hutchison have managed to stay healthy. So that would be a good thing. But I don't think either one of them needs more than a month in the minors before they're ready to help in the big leagues. Blue Jays lose it 9-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays today, an auspicious opening day at best. We shall see how the rest of the season progresses. And we're taking your phone calls right now. The folks down there in St. Petersburg are saying that Jose Reyes, they spoke to Jose Reyes. He said that the hamstring bothered him a little bit while he was in Montreal, but he thought he could play through it. He couldn't today. He's going to go have another MRI. And if this other MRI shows a strain again, one would imagine that they would put him on the disabled list. Who would come up if Reyes has to go on the DL? Probably either Chris Getz or Munenori Kawasaki. I think Getz gives the Blue Jays a little bit more than Kawasaki does as far as the baseball playing part of things. But I know that Kawasaki is the guy the Blue Jays want around. Adrian in Toronto.
Good evening, Michael.
Hello, sir.
Yeah, just two quick questions. Adam Lind didn't play today, obviously, because of Price, and I think the long-term thing for him is that he should only put bat against right-handers. Am I correct?
I think that that's going to – well, I think they're going to pick and choose the lefties he plays against. I don't think they're going to do a strict he's never going to play against a left-handed pitcher, because there are some, though few, left-handed pitchers that he can handle. But against a David Price, we're not going to see Adam Lind in the lineup.
Okay. Now, I was just trying to read some statistics. Who would be your likely pick for his, you know, pseudo platoon partner? Would it be someone like Moises Sierra, or would it be vary according to the game? Obviously, in games that Dickey pitches, Tolley would be his catcher, and then someone else would slide into DH. But
yeah, I'd love to get Deonner Navarro in there and catch Kratz against a lot of lefties. I don't know how long they're going to stay lined up this way, but I don't think Moises Sierra is a typical lefty crusher that you would kind of want to get in there all the time if there's a left-handed pitcher in. And Deonner Navarro has been that. So you give him a breather as catcher and you DH him, but you can only do that and be comfortable when you have three catchers. So right now, I mean, I really like the way that looked today. Until you get a legit lefty crusher, which the Blue Jays don't have, to me, that looks like a good way to do it. We got a lot of calls to get to and not a lot of time. So we are Blue Jays talking it up till the top of the hour. Jays lose the opener 9-2 to Tampa. Jason in Toronto listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You are next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about Jose Reyes getting injured with the hammy. I was doing a little research today, and I found out that he's actually the highest-paid Blue Jays player, making, I think, $18 million this year and $22 million every single year after that.
Yeah, he signed now, a very nice contract with the Marlins a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he had a good spree in Miami, but for all the prospects that we ended up giving up for him, I just wanted to ask if you think, for the money that we're paying him, if it's worth it to have him and also to have Mark Burley, who I found out also makes $18 million a year. I think we're locked into the next 3 or 4 years with him. So I just wanted to get your perspective on that. I'll hang up and listen to you.
Okay. Only one more year for Burley. Yes, Jose Reyes, when he's healthy, is one of the best players in baseball, period. So that's what the market will bear. And in fact, it's cheap now if you look at the deals that Miguel Cabrera and Mike Trout signed, which is not to say he's in that neighborhood, but he is among the best players in baseball when he's healthy. So, yes, I'm very happy they have him. I just wish that his hamstrings would hold up a little bit better. I'll make that deal 100 times out of 100. Burley's only got one more year after this, and, yes, he's expensive and more expensive than he's worth, but 200 innings are worth something too. And we're learning that, no question, especially after seeing what happened with the Blue Jays starting pitching last year. Matt in Milton. Hello, Matt. Design
stuff. Matt Hankins should be the next pitching coach. Just your thoughts on that. And is Hutchinson on an innings limit this year?
No, Hutchinson is not on an innings limit this year. And as far as Pat Hankins being the pitching coach, Pat Hankins is a wonderful coach. And I think that, you know, he may even wind up being a manager sometime down the road. But I'm fine with Pete Walker. I know that people love to blame coaches for the failings of players. But I think Pete Walker's a smart guy. I think he knows the game. He knows pitching. And I'm very happy with Pete Walker. That said, Pat Hankins is a tremendous asset to have on any coaching staff, period. And the Blue Jays want him there whenever they can have him there. Shai Davidi tweets a quote from R.A. Dickey, the quote, "This is completely my loss." Nice to hear. R.A. Dickey being the stand-up guy today, he set a Blue Jays record, 6 walks on opening day. 9-2, the Blue Jays beat the Tampa Rays. On opening day, it didn't go that way. They didn't beat the Tampa Rays, sorry. 9-2, the Tampa Rays beat the Blue Jays heartily. Steve is in Ajax. Hello, Steve.
Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good, good. Just want to make a comment on the a couple of your comments, which sound very absurd. Lefty crusher Navarro. Navarro is nothing in the major leagues. I mean, except for
Navarro had an OPS over 1,000 against lefties last year.
1,000? Sorry, say it again?
Navarro had an OPS over 1,000 against lefties last year.
That's 1 year. He's been in the major leagues for 5-6 years now, right?
No,
he had
actually
a good
10.
Rookie year.
In the major leagues for 10 years.
He lost it. He regained it, probably just to save his career. And I mean, like, lefty crusher, he hit 13 home runs last year. I mean, the OPS is one thing, but when you talk about crusher, you talk about guys who have, you know, serious power and the RBI capabilities, and Navarro is none of those. And I'll put money on the fact that this guy won't hit 250 this year. He won't hit more than 10 home runs. Eric Kratz is going to be the starter somewhere along the line, although he's an older guy, but he's got some pop, and this team needs some of that from their the back catcher. So I just feel like that comment, lefty crusher, when I think of that, I'm thinking, you know, the Rays have a couple of guys who are like that, like Longoria and guys like that, and these guys are the best players in baseball. Reyes is, unfortunately, he's a middle infielder. I mean, he's an exciting guy, but he'll never be one of the best players in baseball. He'll always be, you know, an exciting guy, but again, a guy who tends to get injured and not make his money worthwhile. And that's just the way I see it.
Okay. I appreciate that you think that I said a couple of absurd things, and then you referenced RBIs for as a statistic and used the word back catcher. But I do appreciate the call. Pedro in Toronto, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. Listen, here are my thoughts on us as Jays fans, okay?
Sure.
For the past 20 years,
yep.
All right, we're like a bunch of run down, you know, jagged, you know, drug addicts, so to speak. Now, hear me out.
All right.
We are all numb, my friend.
Yes.
We are all numb, and I'll tell you why. We had a taste of the drug back in the early 90s, okay?
Uh-huh.
We had a taste of it. It came in the form of 2 championships.
Yes.
It felt fantastic. It felt amazing. It was like nothing else.
Right.
Now, going forward, we've been trying and trying and trying, and you know what? You could even argue that. Have we been trying? But let's just keep going with that. We've been trying to get to that mountaintop again. Get that high, okay?
Yes.
Get that feeling back. And it don't matter. What we do, it doesn't matter. Apparently, it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year.
Oh, come on.
And hey, listen, I'm just being realistic.
No, you're not. You're being...
As Toronto Blue Jay fans, yes, we are polite. We give them the benefit of a doubt. Hey, it's not that bad. It's just opening day. Now, listen. Let's be realistic here.
Okay.
It's not going to be pretty this year.
Because of opening
day,
you're
saying.
There's
something wrong with this franchise, my friend. Last year, we were World Series favorites.
Yep.
Look at the outcome. Believe me, this year will be just the same.
Okay. Glad to hear it. Thank you very much for your call. Look, I get frustration. They got killed today, and they had a terrible year last year. But let's try to keep things in perspective. When someone says, let's be realistic, and then goes completely unrealistic, it's not, you know, terribly logical. Todd in Mississauga. Hello, Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hey, you know what? I wouldn't dismiss that gentleman's call before you, because I feel the same way.
Well, you're entitled to feel that way, but it's
of course,
but you can't say,
course.
Let's be realistic.
I grew up in the Midwest of the States. I grew up in St. Louis.
Okay. St. Louis is a fantastic baseball town.
Wonderful baseball town.
Yeah.
There is nothing here. I moved up here 6 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And as far as a baseball town,
yeah.
you can dismiss that, correct?
No.
Oh, yeah, yes, you can.
No, you
can't.
And
my wife, my ex-wife, grew up in the late 90s. And after that, and everybody that I see at the restaurants or at the ball game, I go to the games. I support the Jays because I live here.
Nice.
but nobody wants to support him.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. And we're up against the clock, so I got to let you go. But I mean, we saw a huge attendance increase last year, and don't forget that this team sold out pretty much every game for 5 years. So that's just simply not true. But they need to have something to cheer about, and they haven't had that for a while. That is absolutely true. We have to step away. We'll be back to get you ready for game two of 162. Blue Jays lose it today, 9-2 to the Tampa Bay Rays. It is the Blue Jays Talk, the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays get thumped 9-2 by the Tampa Bay Rays on opening day, but there are only 161 of these to go. And tomorrow, game two, hopefully we'll see the same Drew Hutchison that we saw throughout the spring and that we saw in his last five or six starts of 2012 before his elbow exploded on him. Hutchison goes against Alex Cobb for the Tampa Bay Rays. Quick look at the scoreboard shows us a couple of walk-off wins. Detroit beat Kansas City 4-3. Alex Gonzalez, a former Blue Jay, walked it off. Pittsburgh over the Cubs 1-0 in 10 on Neil Walker's walk-off home run leading off that bottom of the 10th inning. And two replay challenges worked today in baseball. Two umpires' calls were overturned. We'll get into replay another time. The time wasting while waiting to make a call or not was ridiculous today. We're back tomorrow, 7 Eastern. Drew Hutchison against Alex Cobb. Join us then. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Toronto.